Fucking marvellous, Lam said, stamping off into the mist. Hawser followed, wishing the ill-fitting suit didn't rub so much. The two men walked on. Lam stopped to investigate some staterooms which had already been looted. Fine materials snagged on broken glass floated like the cloud around them. In one apartment, they saw rich wooden furniture, a holosphere lying broken in a corner, and a glass-sided water tank the size of a room, full of rotting, brilliantly coloured fish and fine clothes, floating together on the surface like exotic weeds. Over their communicators, Hawser and Lam heard the others in Craiglin's group find what they thought was a door leading to the gallery where, they hoped, they would find lasers behind the transparent bubbles they had seen earlier. Hawser told Lam they had best not waste their time, and so they left the staterooms and went back out onto the deck to continue heading forward. "Hey, Hawser," Craiglin said, as the Changer and Lam walked along the deck and into a long tunnel lit by dim sunlight coming through mist and opaque ceiling panels. "This needle radar's not working properly," Hawser answered as they walked. "What's wrong?" "It isn't going through cloud, that's what's wrong. I never really got a chance to..." "What do you mean?" Hawser stopped in the corridor. He felt something wrong in his guts. Lam kept walking away from him down the corridor. "It's given me a reading off that big cloud in front, right the way along and about half a K up." Craiglin laughed. "It isn't the edge wall, that's for sure, and I can see that's a cloud, and it's closer than the needle says it is."
"Where are you now?" Dorolo broke in. "Did you find any lasers? What about that door?"
"No, just a sort of sun lounge or something," Craiglin said. "Craiglin," Hawser shouted, "are you sure about that reading?" "I'm sure. The needle says..."
"Sure isn't much fucking sun to lounge," somebody broke in, though it sounded as if it was accidental and they didn't know the transmit was on.
Hawser felt sweat start out on his brow. Something was wrong. "Lam!" he shouted. Lam, 30 meters away down the corridor, turned as he walked and looked back. "Come back!" Hawser shouted. Lam stopped.
"Hawser, there can't be anything.
Craiglin." This time it was Mip's voice, calling from the shuttle.
"There was somebody else here. I just saw another craft take off somewhere behind where we landed. They've gone now."
"Okay, thanks, Mip," Craiglin said, his voice calm.
"Listen, Hawser, from what I can see from here, the bows where you are have just gone into the cloud.
So it's a cloud.
Shit, we can all see it's a goddamn cloud, don't..."
The ship shuddered under Hawser's feet. He rocked. Lam looked at him puzzled.
"Did you feel that?" Hawser shouted.
"Feel what?" Craiglin said.
"Craiglin," it was Mip again. "I can see something..."
"Lam, get back here,"
Hawser shouted through the air and into his helmet mic together. Lam looked around him. Hawser thought he could feel a continuing tremor in the deck below.
"What did you feel?"
Craiglin said. He was starting to get annoyed. Yalson chipped in.
"I thought I felt something. Nothing much, but... Listen, these things aren't supposed to... They aren't supposed to..."
"Craiglin," Mip said more urgently, "I think I can see... Lam!"
Hawser was backing off now, back down the long tunnel of corridor. Lam stayed where he was, looking hesitant. Hawser could hear something. A curious growling noise. It reminded him of a jet engine or a fusion motor heard from a very long distance away, but it wasn't either. He could feel something under his feet, too. That tremor. And there was some sort of pull, a tug that seemed to be dragging him forward, toward Lam, toward the bows, as though he was in a weak field, or...
"Craiglin!" Mip yelled. "I can't... There is...
He spluttered.
"Look, will you all just calm down?"
"I can feel something,"
Yalson began. Hawser started running, pounding back down the corridor. Lam, who had started to walk back, stopped and put his hands on his hips when he saw the other man running away from him. There was a distant roaring in the air, like a big waterfall heard from far down a gorge.
"I can feel something too. It's as if..." What was Mip yelling about?
"We're crashing!" Hawser shouted as he ran. The roaring was coming closer, growing stronger all the time.
"Ice!"
It was Mip.
"I'm bringing the shuttle. Run! It's a wall of ice! Nysin! Where are you, Nysin? I've got..." "What? Ice?"
The roaring noise grew. The corridor around Hawser started to groan. Several of the opaque roof panels fractured and fell to the floor in front of him. A section of wall suddenly sprang out like an opening door, and he just avoided running into it. The noise filled his ears. Lam looked round and saw the end of the corridor coming toward him. The whole end section was closing off steadily with a grinding roar, advancing toward him at about running speed. He fired at it, but it didn't stop. Smoke poured into the corridor. He swore, turned and ran, following Hawser.
People were yelling and shouting from all over now. There was a babble of tiny voices in both Hawser's ears, but all he could really hear was the thundering noise behind him. The deck beneath his feet bucked and trembled as though the whole gigantic ship was a building caught in an earthquake. The plates and panels which made up the corridor walls were buckling, the floor rose up in places, more roof panels shattered and fell. All the time, the same sapping force was pulling him back, slowing him down, as though he was in a dream. He ran out into daylight, heard Lam not far behind.
"Crikling, you stupid motherfucking son of a bitch's bastard!" Lam screamed.
The voices yammered in his ear, his heart pounded. He threw each foot forward with all his might, but the roaring was coming closer, growing stronger. He ran past the empty staterooms, where the soft materials blew. The roof was starting to fold in on the apartments and the deck was tilting. The holosphere they had seen earlier came rolling and bouncing out of the collapsing windows. A hatch near Hawser blew out in a gust of pressurized air and flying debris. He ducked as he ran, felt splinters strike his suit. He skidded as the deck under him banged and leapt. Lam's steps came pounding behind him. Lam continued to scream abuse at Craiglin over the intercom. The noise behind him was like a gigantic waterfall, a big rock slide, like a continuous explosion, a volcano. His ears ached and his mind reeled, stunned by the volume of the racket. A line of windows set in the wall ahead of him went white, then exploded toward him, throwing particles at his suit in a series of small, hard clouds. He put his head down again. He headed for the doorway.
"Bastard, bastard, bastard!" Lam bellowed.
"Not stopping. Over here!"
"Shut up, Lam!"
"Hawser!"
Voices screamed in his ear. He was running on carpet now inside a broad corridor. Open doors were flapping. Light fittings on the ceiling were vibrating. Suddenly, a deluge of water swept across the corridor in front of him. 20 meters away, and for a second he thought he was at sea level, but knew he couldn't be. When he ran over the place where the water had been, he could see and hear it frothing and gurgling down a broad spiral stairwell, and only a few dribbles were falling from overhead. The tugging of the slowly decelerating ship seemed less now, but the roar of noise was still all around him. He was weakening, running in a daze, trying to keep his balance as the long corridor vibrated and twisted around him. Now a rush of air was flowing past him. Some sheets of paper and plastic flapped past him like coloured birds.
"Bastard, bastard, bastard! Lam!"
There was daylight ahead, through a glassed-over sun deck of broad windows. He jumped through some big-leaved plants growing in large pots and landed in a group of flimsy chairs set round a small table, demolishing them.
"Fucking stupid bastard! Lam, shut up!"
Craiglin's voice broke in.
"We can't hear."
The line of windows ahead went white, cracking like ice, then bursting out. He dived through the space to skid over the fragments scattered on the deck beyond. Behind him, the top and bottom of the shattered windows started to close slowly like a huge mouth.
"You bastard, you motherfucker! Damn it, change channels, go to..."
He slipped on the shards of glass, almost falling. Only Lam's voice sounded through his helmet now, filling his ears with oaths which were mostly drowned in the smothering roar of the endless wreck behind. He looked back, just for a second, to see Lam throwing himself between the jaws of the crumpling windows. He careened over the deck, falling and rolling, then rising again, still holding his gun, as Hawser looked away. It was only at that point he realized he no longer had his own gun. He must have dropped it, but he couldn't remember where or when. Hawser was slowing down. He was fit and strong, but the above-standard pull of Vavacher's false gravity and the badly fitting suit were taking their toll. He tried, as he ran in something like a trance, as his breath streamed back and forth through his wide-open mouth, to imagine how close they had been to the bows, for how long that immense weight of ship behind would be able to compress its front section as its billion-ton mass rammed into what must, if it had filled the cloud bank they had seen earlier, be a massive tabular iceberg. As though in a dream, Hawser could see the ship about him, still wrapped in clouds and mist, but lit from above by the wash of golden sunlight. The towers and spires seemed unaffected. The whole vast structure still sliding forward toward the ice as the kilometers of megaship behind them pressed forward with the vessel's own titanic momentum. He ran by game courts, past tents of billowing silver, through a pile of musical instruments. Ahead there was a huge tiered wall of more decks, and above him were bridges, swaying and thrashing as the bowward supports out of sight behind him came closer to the advancing wave of wreckage and were consumed. He saw the deck to one side drop away into airy, hazy nothing. The deck under his feet started to rise slowly, but for 15 meters or more in front of him. He was fighting his way up a slope, growing steeper all the time. A suspension bridge to his left collapsed, wires flailing. It disappeared into the golden mist, the noise of its fall lost in the crushing din assaulting his ears. His feet started to slide on the tilt of deck. He fell, landed heavily on his back and turned, looking behind him.
Against a wall of pure white towering higher than the Olmedrecker's tallest spire, the megaship was throwing itself to destruction in a froth of debris and ice. It was like the biggest wave in the universe rendered in scrap metal, sculpted in grinding junk, and beyond and about it, over and through, cascades of flashing, glittering ice and snow swept down in great slow veils from the cliff of frozen water beyond. Hawser stared at it, then started to slide down toward it as the deck tilted him. To his left, a huge tower was collapsing slowly, bowing to the breaking wave of compacted wreckage like a slave before a master. Hawser felt a scream start in his throat as he saw decks and railings, walls and bulkheads and frames he'd only just run past start to crumple and smash and come toward him. He rolled over sliding shards and skidding fragments to the buckling rail at the edge of the deck, grabbed at the rails, caught them, heaved with both arms, kicked with one foot and threw himself over the side. He fell only one deck, crashing into sloped metal, winding himself. He got to his feet as fast as he could, sucking air through his mouth and swallowing as he tried to get his lungs to work. The narrow deck he was on was also buckling, but the fold point was between him and the wall of towering, grinding wreckage. He slipped and slid away from it, down the sloping surface as the deck behind him rose into a peak. Metal tore, and girders crashed out of the deck above like broken bones through skin. A set of steps faced him, leading to the deck he'd just jumped from, but to an area that was still level. He scrambled up to the level deck, which only then started to tip, canting away from the wavefront of debris as its front edge lifted, crumpling. He ran down the increasing slope, water from shallow ornamental pools cascading around him. More steps. He hauled himself toward the next deck. His chest and throat seemed filled with hot coals, his legs with molten lead, and all the time that awful nightmarish pull came from behind, dragging him back toward the wreckage. He stumbled and gasped his way from the top of the steps past the side of a broken, drained swimming pool.
"Hawser!" a voice yelled. "Is that you, Hawser? It's Mip! Look up!"
Hawser lifted his head. In the mist, 30 meters above him, was the cat's shuttle. He waved weakly at it, staggering as he did so. The shuttle lowered itself through the mist ahead of him, its rear doors opening until it was hovering just over the next deck above.
"I've opened the doors! Jump in!" Mip shouted.
Hawser tried to reply, but could produce no sound apart from a sort of rasping wheeze. He staggered on, feeling as though the bones in his legs had turned to jelly. The heavy suit bumped and crashed around him, his feet slipped on the broken glass which covered the thrumming deck under his boots. Yet more steps towered ahead, leading to the deck where the shuttle waited.
"Hurry up, Hawser! I can't wait much longer!"
He threw himself at the steps, hauled himself up. The shuttle wavered in the air, swiveling, its open rear ramp pointing at him, then away. The steps beneath him shuddered. The noise around him roared, full of screams and crashes. Another voice was shouting in his ears, but he couldn't make out the words. He fell onto the upper deck, lunged forward for the shuttle ramp a few meters away. He could see the seats and lights inside, Lenny Pobre's suited body slumped in one corner.
"I can't wait, I've..."
Mip shouted above the scream of the wreckage and the other shouting voice. The shuttle started to rise. Hawser threw himself at it. His hands caught the lip of the ramp just as it rose level with his chest. He was hoisted from the deck, swinging under outstretched arms and looking forward under the shuttle's fuselage belly as the craft forced its way up into the air.
"Hawser, Hawser, I'm sorry,"
Mip sobbed.
"You've got me,"
Hawser yelled hoarsely.
"What?"
The shuttle was still climbing, passing decks and towers and the thin horizontal lines of monorail tracks. All Hawser's weight was taken by his fingers, hooked in their gloves of the edge of the ramp door. His arms ached.
"I'm hanging onto the goddamn ramp!"
"You bastards!"
screamed another voice. It was Lam. The ramp started to close. The jerk almost broke Hawser's grip. They were 50 meters up and climbing. He saw the top part of the doors jawing down toward his fingers.
"Mip!" he yelled. "Don't close the door! Leave the ramp where it is and I'll try to get in!"
"Okay,"
Mip said quickly. The ramp stopped, angling up, halting at about 20 degrees. Hawser began swinging his legs from side to side. They were 70, 80 meters up, facing away from the wave of wreckage and heading slowly away from it.
"You black bastard, come back!"
Lam bellowed.
"I can't, Lam,"
Mip cried.
"I can't, you're too close."
"You fat bastard," Lam hissed.
Light flickered around Hawser. The underside of the shuttle blazed in a dozen places as laser fire hit it. Something slammed into Hawser's left foot on the sole of his boot, and his right leg was kicked out as his leg burned with pain. Mip screamed incoherently. The shuttle started to gather speed, heading back over the megaship and diagonally across it.
The air roared around Hawser's body, slowly tearing his grip away.
Mip, slow down, he shouted. Bastard,
Lam yelled again. The mist to one side glowed as a fan of short-lived beams incandesced within it. Then the laser fire shifted and the shuttle sparkled again, cracking with 5 or 6 small explosions around the front and nose section. Mip howled. The shuttle increased speed.
Hawser was still trying to swing one leg onto the sloped ramp, but the clawed fingers of his gloves were slowly scraping along the roughened surface as his body was slipstreamed back behind the speeding craft.
Lam screamed. A high, gurgling sound which went through Hawser's head like an electric shock until the noise snapped off suddenly, replaced for an instant by sharp, cracking, breaking noises. The shuttle raced over the surface of the crashing megaship 100 meters up. Hawser felt the strength ebbing from his fingers and arms. He looked through the helmet visor at the interior of the shuttle only a few meters away, as millimeter by millimeter he slipped away from it.